All right, 1 Samuel chapter 16. Let me ask you a question. What would change in your life if your top priority would be, what does God think about this? Let me ask you that question again. What would change in your life if your top priority would be, what does God care most about? What does God think about this? 1 Samuel chapter 16, as we look there, we're going to use 1 Samuel 16, then we'll find ourselves in Matthew chapter 15 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 16, we'll read the first 7 verses, and we'll see humanity in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Say, what do you mean? I'll point it out when we get there. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer and with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. Thou shalt anoint unto me whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town troubled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord, to sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to sacrifice. It came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab, and he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. If you remember, one of the attributes of Saul was his stature. In verse 7, the Lord said, no, we tried that before. That doesn't work. The Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him, talking of Eliab. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. Which brings us back to our original question. What would change if we saw things as how God saw things? For here's the humanity of it. For man looketh on the outward appearance, and in contrast, God looketh on the heart. Pray, Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word, God. Lord, I can say in the truth of my heart more than ever before, we need you here. And God, may our heart and mind just be so fixated, consumed, anchored to the thought, what would change in my life if I made you top priority? Lord, I know there's areas. There's areas that we would dismiss and say, oh, sure, I could improve upon. But Lord God, I pray we not be just content with speaking of those things. But God, truly, we would wrap our hands around your feet and plead with you. God, you would show us mercy yet again. That God, we would make right with you. That we would see you for who you are. Bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, some years ago, I had the privilege of traveling a little bit with Brother Bobby Bonner. And we had some long flights together. And in long flights, well, when you're on an airplane for not just 4 hours, not just 6 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, 14 hours, but when you're on a flight for 15 hours to Zambia, right, Miss Sam? That's a long flight. You got to spark up some conversation. Well, if you know Brother Bonner, Bobby Bonner used to play professional baseball, and he had stories. And man, I would just sit there and I would listen to him, and some were bring tears to my eyes, some would make me laugh. And he told me the story about how he went to a missions conference, and there he was, and he approached, and he was running early. He had his briefcase. He was in a suit, and what was happening in the fields, they were finishing up. They had a softball league. And he walks up, and they said, who are you? He says, oh, I'm the preacher for tonight. And there he is in a suit with a briefcase. And the one team's like, well, we need somebody, but we don't need you. The other team said, well, we need somebody. And he says, well, they said, can you play ball? I'll give it a try. Took off his coat. He's like, Nick, I went 4 for 4 that day. Every time a home run. They came up to him after. They're like, who are you? So my name's, I'm the preacher, I'm Bobby Bonner. They said, where did you play ball? He said, played for the Baltimore Orioles. First place team lost that day, he said. So why'd you tell us that story? Because sometimes our impressions of things dictate our responses. And I'm here to tell you, church, sometimes we don't handle things right because our impression of God is not correct. Sometimes we put way too much stock in Eliab. Say, what? What does that mean? Oh, he's important. Oh, he's the eldest of the sons of Jesse. God's anointed is going to be coming out of here. Here's your man. Because that's what looks like on the outside. I'd like you to turn over to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees. When you start a chapter like that, you know it's not going to go good for them. They're in this own group. Very few times, if ever, do we see things working out well for them. Because they're not there to come to Jesus. They're there to trip him up. Matthew chapter 15, verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. And that is offensive to us. We are not told of how Christ responds bodily to that. But I would almost think he sat there and thought, oh yeah, that's a good point. Quick question for you. And he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress? He didn't say the traditions of men. He said, the commands of God. And the conversation's over. Which brings us back to our initial question. What would change in your life if you cared most about what God thought. I'm in no way insinuating that you care nothing about God. I'm just asking if instead of man's thoughts or what men think and what God thinks, if we switched it. What would change in your life right now if God got top priority? Because I dare say we are as guilty as the Pharisees. Because we come whining and complaining to the Lord, oh, they're breaking these my traditions. And God responds to us, but you're breaking my law. What's more important? Christ attempts to change the Pharisees' view, to change their thought pattern. In discussions, in discussions with my children, sometimes they come to a circumstance or an event or a thing, and you know what? They're just not seeing it right. And they're filtering their decision-making or their responses based on their skewed view. So what we have to do is back up, undo their thoughts, reprogram, and then move forward again. You'll see it. It takes some time. You'll see it. The child will be in anguish and upset, taking on the role of the victim that they've just been wronged in some great way. And why, mom, why, dad, do you just not understand my point of view? So we have to go backwards a little bit. And then all of a sudden, you see the change of countenance. Shoulders shrink a little. Head falls. Humility in the voice now. Because they've changed their thought pattern. So many times we come to the Lord with a skewed thought pattern. And we dictate to God based on the priority that what man thinks is more important than what God thinks. And God says, hold on a second. You're trying to impress the wrong person. You're trying to impress man when you should be trying to impress me. I love the illustrations that he gives here, or the things that they brought up. They said, they're not washing their hands. See, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the hearts. Oh, dirty hands are not good. I agree. We don't like dirty hands. We don't like dirty hands under freshly painted walls. We don't like dirty hands going into our mouth. There's legitimacy to that. But may we not look over the heart condition to look at the hands? He says, you've sinned in your heart. We are more apt to give attention in our attempt to impress men than we are God. A great danger occurs when we place any person higher than the Lord. No matter who that is. If you're a teenager in here, if you place the thoughts of mom and dad above God, it's out of line. As an adult, if you place the thoughts of your spouse higher than the thoughts of God, you're out of line. Hey, let's ask that question yet again. What would change in your life if you cared more about what God thought? Matthew chapter 23, in verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not, You see that? For they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders. And they want to be exalted higher than God. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. Say, what is that? That's the Bible pages that they roll up and put on their forehead. If you've been to Israel, you saw that? Is that correct? People walking around with some of those? And enlarge the borders of their garments. We were at a wedding yesterday. The most prominent person was the bride. She came down, her train filled the aisle. Anytime she moved, the bridesmaid, she had the largest garment. She was the most extravagant. Hey, the Pharisees, hey, look at us! And love the uppermost rooms of feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. And to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. And be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. And all ye are brethren. No man, and call no man your father upon the earth. For one is your Father which is in heaven. He says, be careful, warning, be careful that you not place man higher than God. So what's the problem with that? Proverbs 29:25 says this, the fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Hey, when we do that, we fall prey to the whims of man. And that is a trap. That is a trap. The greatest sin in our life is this. Listen to me. The greatest sin in our life is I can manage my life without God. And we manage our life without God because we're most concerned about what men think rather than God. Not that we don't care about God, but we just place the value of man higher than God. It has to switch. It's a lie that you can manage your life without God. What is God wanting to talk to you about, but can't because you won't give him your attention? Because you're busy seeking the affections of men. John 16:12 says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them. The problems with impressing men. Number one, we compare ourselves amongst imperfections. We compare ourselves amongst imperfections. Stephen, can I have you come put your Bible down for a second? Normally we don't do visual illustration Sunday morning, but can you come stand here? You stand there. Anthony, come stand here. Great. Riley, come on up. Sitting in the big kid service, we're calling you out. All right. You stand here. Right now, you're making comparisons. Tallest guy in the middle. I wonder who's older, who's younger. I wonder who weighs the most. I say, if I ask you, say, okay, I need you to pick one. You say, for what? I need you to fit underneath a small air. Riley, going in. Sorry. I need that. Oh. And so many times we place ourselves in the line. Say, how's my Christianity doing? Look down the line. No offense to these fine young gentlemen. They're just people. I look down the line and go, pretty good. And we're comparing ourselves amongst imperfections. You may be seated. Thank you. Young men that love the Lord, and I get it. But the problem with comparing or seeking to impress men is that we're comparing amongst imperfections. The Bible warns us all about this. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. A false balance is what? An abomination to God. A false balance is abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 11, 1. It's an abomination. He hates it. He hates when you compare yourselves among yourselves. He says it's not wise. But yet that is our standard. That is the thing that we seek approval of. They are the ones that we want affirmation from. And here's God. We're making decisions based on our peers and the righteousness and godliness of our peers. And God says, that's a false balance. The dangers of seeking the impressions of men, number one is we compare ourselves amongst imperfections. Number two, Titus chapter 3. In verse 3 it says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish." When we seek to impress men, you know what is produced? Foolish behavior. So how do you know? How have you went to college? Sure. Do you seek the approval of a fellow classman? Find yourself doing something that you ought not to have? June 21st, 1998, Silas Caldwell accidentally killed his best friend. Both men had been drinking when Silas's friend Larry put a beer can on top of his head and told Silas to shoot the can. Silas missed and killed his friend. See, that was dumb. Seeking the approval of a friend. How many of you sometime throughout your life had sought the approval only to find out, wow, that put me in a dumb situation? Sure. We'll get to it in a minute, but seeking the approval and seeking to impress God will never make you foolish. You'll never find yourself, when you're seeking the affections of God Himself, you'll never find yourself putting a beer can on top of your head asking your friend to take a shot. No. No, there's wisdom. There'll be wisdom. Point number one, we compare amongst imperfections. Number two, we find ourselves doing foolish behavior. We lose what is actually important. Point number three, Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. What would change in your life if God was top priority? If what He thought was the most important thing, what would change? Well, we would stop comparing amongst imperfections. Our foolish behavior might be curbed. We'll lose what is actually important when we seek to impress men. Luke chapter 16, look at these strong words. Again, Christ talking to the Pharisees in verse 14. Luke 16:14 says, "And the Pharisees also who were covetous heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves, what? Before men. But God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. What man says is most important. God says, I hate it. And that's the problem. It would be different if man and God coincided, but we do not. And what God has determined most valuable, we bring down low and we say, how do I impress my boss? How do I impress my peers? How do I draw attention to myself? And we've lost what is important. And God says, ye are they which justify yourselves. And he says these two very sad words, before men. How different the scenario would be if it said, before God. And I ask you the question again, what would change in your life if the most important thing is what God thought? Because we've lost what is actually important. We have determined our own self-interests are important. We have become self-seeking, self-concerned. Young people are distraught these days if when they post a picture on social media, they don't get the number of likes that they expected. And 9 out of 10 times the pictures of themselves. It's just an indicator of where you're at. That you're most important. That your life is all about you. And God is somewhere. Not that you don't care about God. He's just not the most important thing. That we're more consumed with the traditions of men than the commandments of God. We would compare ourselves amongst imperfection. We would participate in foolish behavior. We would lose what is actually important. We would waste our resources. Ever buy something or do something just to approve or impress somebody? Go to Galatians chapter 1. Sermon's about to take a 90-degree turn. We're about to head to the Lord and not look back. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10 asks our question this morning. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You know what? Paul is an excellent example to us that he cared most about what God thought. To the point of harm. He didn't care what kings thought. He didn't care about his fellow countrymen. He put himself in harm's way because he determined God's thoughts, man's thoughts. How would you answer verse 10? Do I seek to please men or do I seek to please God? Ask yourself the question right now. Is my life about And it's not about others. It's even worse than that. It's humanistic. It's self-serving. It's me. What do I want? And it's no longer even the thoughts and traditions of men. It's the thoughts and traditions of me. And then there's God. Oh, there's areas where I give God attention. But does He get the most? In your life, do the hands need to switch? There's one thing we ought to fear, and that's God. Amen? The fear of the Lord, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 and Psalm 111 verse 10, the fear of the Lord is two things. It is the beginning of knowledge and is the beginning of wisdom. Let's remember, when I seek to impress men, what happens? I find myself doing foolish behavior. God's response is always the antithesis, the opposite. When I seek the approval and the to impress mankind or even myself in self-exaltation, what I find is foolishness. When I fear God, I find wisdom and knowledge. What a difference. For one who seeks to impress God, one who seeks the approval of God, for one who places the priorities of God far exceeding man's approval, there will be wisdom and knowledge. Look at some verses here. These are tremendously encouraging verses. Psalm 33. As you turn to Psalm 33, I want to say one thing. There's a possibility, just like those baseball players that day made an assumption or a decision based on what they saw, there's a false sense of making decisions based on what we see. I understand. But understand this too. If the outside's a mess, chances are really good the inside's a mess. If your house is on fire, you ought not to be mowing the lawn. You got a problem indoors. So don't get to the point where I can look whatever and I can be whatever here on the outside because God looks on the heart. Understand that the outside is evident of what's going on the inside. Let's not just dismiss personal care. Let's not dismiss exterior holiness. But let's make a priority, though, of the heart. Because the outside will follow. Psalm 33, look at verse 8. Look at this great verse. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. When we make God our top priority, we realize how awesome He is. How awesome He is. I hope today, sometimes on Dinner on the Grounds, I notice some of our ladies, and they either get lost or whatever, but they just keep walking around in circles. You ever see our ladies? And they're chatting it up. I don't know what you're talking about, but you're smiling, and that makes me happy. When you're happy, I'm happy. So there you are, and you're walking. Maybe today you take a minute, and you go out and look around, and look at the little things. Watch the little ants as they run their little colony. Don't squish them. Where's our... I'll overlook. Don't squish them. Let them be. They're not harming anybody. And you look at that and see how God controls that. And then look up for a minute and watch hopefully the geese fly over, away. Right, Grandpa Hay? Maybe you pray for the geese and say, God, put it in their mind to leave here. Just tell them they don't want to be here anymore. But just look around and see how awesome God is. Puts him here. Let all the earth fear the Lord. See, when we fear the Lord, we see him in his awe and wonder. When we place man above God, we lose that. Sadly, some of our young people are going to be walking into secular college this year. Not sadly that they're out of the will of God. I'm just saying, like, it's sad that they're going to hear things that place man above. You know what they've lost? The awe of God. They care nothing about God. Why? Because man is so far above, they don't even acknowledge his existence now. But for the one who fears the Lord, we walk around in awe and wonder of who he is. Our life is forever changed. Look at Proverbs chapter 14. It was amazing to me as I was studying these things out, and the Lord was giving me these thoughts, and I was studying out the fear of the Lord. Look at this. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 27, maybe you read it this week. Proverbs 14, 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. To depart from what? The snares of death. Remember what happens when we exalt man? Proverbs 29, 25 says, the fear of man bringeth what? A snare. When I fear God, it gets me out of that snare. And it gives me life. And the greatest life is the life lived for the Lord. Placing God as high as you possibly can. We have five people that live in our house, and there was a time when we could place the things that we don't want the children touching up. We put the sugary cereals on the highest shelf because they couldn't get it. Until one morning, all of a sudden, here, bang! What was that? That's the kids jumping up on the counter and their feet swinging and hitting the cabinets underneath. And you come out and they're standing on the counter. I couldn't get it high enough. You understand that we cannot exalt God high enough in our minds. Say, I don't want to put God too high on a pedestal. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do, because he is awesome. And he is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. And he is life. And he'll set us free from the snares of men. Some of our young people are going to need. They're going to go through secular college and they're going to come out with a warped sense of who God is. And they're going to need to be set free from those snares. Because the ways of man are a snare clasped upon your leg. They lie. But God, the ways of God are awesome and wonderful in life. When we seek the Lord first and foremost, and he is the most important thing, yes, it is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Yes, he is awesome. Yes, it gives us life. But it also gives us a confidence. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 26. And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. See, that's arrogance. No, that's confidence. Not in me. See, it's no longer me that's most important. It's God that's most important. And I have no reason to not trust Him. Because He's never let us down. And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And His children shall have a place of refuge. Confidence with nothing to fear. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7. We're almost done. Proverbs 3, 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and look and depart from evil. Say, why do I have such a hard time saying no to sin? Because the thoughts of man are higher than the thoughts of God. Why do I have such a hard time turning away from the temptations of sin? Because you're wise in your own eyes. Because when we fear the Lord, we can depart from evil. You struggle with sin, it's because man is higher than God. See, I don't like that. That's the truth. Psalm 86 and verse 11. Look at these verses. Man, they're so great. If I told you, okay, in this section over here is nothing but heartache and sorrow and just and death and foolishness and problem after problem after problem. Or if you go through this door, there's joy and there's wisdom and there's strength and confidence and life. Why would you not go over here? Why do we still seek the level of man? Psalm 86:11 says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." A unity with God? Yes. Yes. Yesterday, we united two souls to come together, Molly and Thomas. I said, yeah, where are they? On their honeymoon, where they ought to be. And two became one. Are unified to the Lord? Is your heart and His heart? Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And what drew God to David? He was a man after His own heart. I don't need the tallest anymore. I don't need what man says is the best. Give me the ruddy boy with character. Give me the ruddy boy that depends on me. And I'll unite myself with him. Last verse. Psalm 34. As we place God as our top priority, we acknowledge He is awesome. We begin to have knowledge and wisdom. We are set free from the snares of men and actually given life. We have now confidence and have nothing to fear. Paul had nothing to fear. Because he feared God. He was united to God. Look at Psalm 34 and verse 9. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. Completely satisfied. I have unrest in my soul. I am not satisfied. Then I will tell you that the ways of man are higher than the ways of God in your life. That you care more about... See, it'll produce a covetous life. That you care more about the things of man than you do God. I have one paragraph left to read, and then we'll have our invitation. But I want you to think. Is what I care about most what is most important to God? Charles Spurgeon says this. I would recommend you either believe God up to the hilt or else not to believe it at all. Believe this book of God, every letter of it, or else reject it. There is no logical standing place between the two. Be satisfied with nothing less than a faith that swims in the deeps of divine revelation. A faith that paddles about the edge of the water is poor faith at best. Sure, God means something to me sometimes. Get out. Either get all in or get all out. With God, there's no middle ground. Either you've made Him top priority, or you're guilty of idolatry and place something above God. Your worship will be wrong. Your affections will be wrong. Who are you seeking to impress today? God or man? They're breaking the traditions of elders. And you are breaking the commandments of God. Let's all stand. May God in our life not be an afterthought, but our first priority. And I've asked you this probably a half a dozen times, but I want you to think, not for me, not for the person standing next to you, not for any of it, but what would change between you and God if you cared most about what God thought? Say, that would undo my entire life. Then undo it. Flip it upside down. Turn it all around. Dump it down the drain and start all again. Because you're caught in a snare. In a trap. Because we seek the approval of men over the fear of God. Lord, I ask you, bless this time of invitation now, and whatever it is that you've dealt in the hearts of men, God, we would be honest, not caring a lick about what anybody else thinks. But God, what do you think? Lord, help us to be honest with you today. That we may begin in knowledge, in wisdom, in life, that we would be satisfied with only you. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As music plays, would you consider the message here this morning and ask yourself the question, what would change in my life if I made God top priority?